The Random Jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in Something to Look Back On.
One evening last autumn, I attended a soiree at the Stacton Assembly Rooms. Well, you know the sort of thing. Just a thimbleful of sherry and a shrimp on a biscuit. And nowhere to sit. Yet somehow one contrives to have a whale of an evening. Absolutely everyone was there, except, of course, Evadne. She's always being invited to these do's, but she never goes. Which is probably why they keep inviting her. One day she's going to turn up and ruin everybody's evening. Anyhow, this particular do turned out to be even more interesting than usual. And I returned home to the old manse a good deal later than I had expected to. Not that Evadne seemed to notice.
Go in, Evadne. I'm back.
What, already?
It's almost 10:30 there.
My goodness, how time does fly when you're out.
Oh, the shrimp boats are coming, their sails are in sight. Oh, the shrimp boats are coming, they'll be home tonight.
All right, all right, all right. There was obviously no shortage of sherry at your do.
Look there. Look, in the napkin. I've brought you a little present.
What is it?
What do you mean, what is it? It's a shrimp.
And what do you expect me to do with that?
Well, you can please yourself, dear. You can either eat it or you can pop it into a little bowl of water and keep it as a pet.
I hate it when you go to do's like that. You always come back silly.
Well, if I do, I don't stay silly for very long. Not with you about. It's like coming home to a cold compress. Now, do you want this shrimp or not? Because if you don't, I shall give it to the cats.
Now, that'll be a treat. Among the three of them.
Oh, you are an old misery. But you'd have enjoyed tonight, you know.
I have enjoyed tonight.
You'd have enjoyed it even more if you'd been with me.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
I bet you would.
I wouldn't.
How do you know you wouldn't? You weren't there.
That's why I wasn't there. Because I know I wouldn't have enjoyed it. I know what those do's are like. They're always the same. The same old faces, the same old food, the same old boring gossip, tittle-tattle and chit-chat.
It's not all just gossip, tittle-tattle and chit-chat, no. Some very interesting things can happen to one at a do like that.
Such as?
You get asked to lay foundation stones.
At a party?
Yeah.
One moment, Hilda. Just let me get this straight. Someone at this party asked you to lay a foundation stone.
That's right.
They were obviously having you on.
They were not.
That's the trouble with that sort of do, you see. People get so very silly at them. Half of them start saying silly things, and the other half start believing them.
Evadne, I have been asked to lay a foundation stone.
Seriously?
Well, there was no mention of my having to perform the ceremony in cap and bells.
What sort of foundation stone would anyone ask you to lay, I wonder? No, no, don't tell me. Let me guess. Let me see now. Ah, Marilyn Modes are building a bigger hat shop.
No.
No? They're adding a unisex salon to the hairdressers.
No.
I know. It's up on the industrial estate, isn't it? A new development. Someone's building an earring factory.
Very funny, then. Very funny, indeed. And we all know who they'd ask if it was a factory for making Wellington boots. But actually, dear, I have been asked to lay the foundation stone of the new public library extension.
The library?
The library.
They've asked you.
That's right.
You?
Me, dear.
Yes. But you're totally unqualified.
They've only asked me to lay the foundation stones. They haven't asked me to build the extension.
Well, really, I've never heard of a more inept choice. It's like asking, the big bad wolf to lay the foundation stone of a piggery. I mean, you're practically illiterate.
One doesn't have to be Dostoevsky to lay a foundation stone there.
And who told you about Dostoevsky?
You did. Well, you knew him, didn't you?
Don't be so stupid.
Well, you always go on as if you did. I mean, the way you talk about Dostoevsky, you might have been childhood sweethearts.
I don't understand it. Fancy asking you. I mean, all those years, I was a member of the library committee. They should have asked me.
Evadne, I probably use that library more than anybody else in Stanton.
Yes, but you only read rubbish.
Well, if what I read is rubbish, they've got an awful lot of it in there. So it's just as well somebody reads it. At least I'm not a darned nuisance, always wanting books they haven't got. Every time you want a book, they have to send to Leamington Spa for it.
Boston Spa.
All right, Boston Spa then. And it's a funny library, if you ask me, that one in Boston Spa.
Hilda, that is where the lending division of the British Library happens to be located.
The last book you had down, they wouldn't even let you take it out of the library. I shudder to think what it was.
It was a very rare and precious book.
Well, if they don't trust you with their books, I'm not surprised they won't let you near their foundation stone.
Who was the idiot who asked you to lay the stone?
I don't remember his name, dear. It was a very charming white-haired gentleman with a beard.
Now, don't tell me. Dressed in red, sack over his shoulder. And offered to show you his reindeer.
No, but you're close. He was in a caftan and he wanted to show me his Morris Thousand.
Oh, that idiot.
He absolutely adored my hat.
Yeah, it's probably brought back a lot of happy memories.
Do you really think so?
I'm sure of it. His father used to have a fruit stall in the market.
Anyway, he asked where you were.
I was always crossing swords with him.
You cross swords with everybody. You've crossed more swords than the Three Musketeers.
I do hope that laying the foundation stone of the library extension isn't going to start you spouting purple prose.
That's the trouble with you, Evadne. You're a literary snob. You complain about me, but your friend Dostoevsky, he can get away with murder.
Presumably the person the library committee really wanted for the stone laying couldn't do it.
Well, your friend was perfectly honest about that, there. I wasn't the first choice.
Ah, well, there you are, then. What did I tell you? Who was the first choice?
Princess Diana.
They've got ideas above their station.
Well, their second choice was Nancy Reagan.
I bet the whole thing is just a silly joke.
Well, I will admit, Evadne, I have been pulling your leg a bit. Princess Diana wasn't the first choice.
Well, who was then?
I was. But, and it's a very big but.
Then why don't you fill it with water and jump into it?
Evadne, if you're not careful, you're going to be very sorry.
What for?
For being so rude to me.
Oh, why should I be sorry? It isn't a thing I normally regret.
Well, that settles it then. I was going to tell you something, but I've changed my mind. And now I'm not going to tell you.
Please yourself.
Don't you want to know what it is I'm not going to tell you?
Not if you don't want to tell me, no. I think I shall go to bed. You've ruined my evening.
I have? How?
By coming home.
Right. Just for that, I will tell you. And then you'll feel rotten. You just see if you don't.
I'm sorry. I'm not interested in your tittle-tattle.
They're going to name that library extension after you.
What?
Yes, dear. After you.
You're not serious.
I am. They're going to call it the Evadne Hinge extension. I told them it would make it sound like an ironmonger's annex.
Oh, I see. Another one of your silly jokes.
It is not Evadne. Guide's honour. Would you like me to swear on my shrimp?
Who told you this?
Well, who do you think? Your idiot friend, of course. Oh, official confirmation's on the way. But as soon as he saw me, well, of course, he took me to one side and treated me to what I believe they call an official leak.
Yes. Well, he always dribbles when he's excited.
Well, are you pleased?
Of course I'm pleased.
It's going to be quite a day, isn't it, for both of us? I shall lay the foundation stone. Of course, I shall have my name on that. And I shall say a few nice words about you, if I can think of any. Then your idiot friend will doubtless say a few nice things about you, if he can think of any. And then you'll have to thank us both for saying whatever nice things we may have invented. And then, with any luck, the bar might be open. I say, Evadne, you're quite moved, aren't you? Is that a little tear I see?
Well, it is quite an honour, Hilda.
Yes, it is.
And I'm sorry I was a little short with you.
Here, I'll eat this blessed shrimp and you can dab your eyes with a napkin.
It's just so nice to know that one is appreciated.
That's very true, dear. Oh, come on, Evadne. Do stop snivelling.
I'm not snivelling. I think I must be getting a bit of a cold.
You are a funny old thing. You really are. You spend most of your time being thoroughly miserable. And then something really nice happens to you, and everybody expects you to cheer up. And all you do is get even more miserable. I tell you what, you pour us each a celebratory glass of sherry, and I'll find us a nice jolly song to sing.
Now, that's a good idea. I think I deserve a little drink after all I've been through since you got home. I feel as if I've been put through a mangle.
You look as if you have.
Now, Hilda, you're not going to spoil it. Here, drink your sherry.
Thank you, dear. Well, here's to us. Well, us and the library extension.
To the library extension.
Well, that reminds me. I must take my books back. They're nearly overdue.
Well, I'd leave it till after the ceremony if I were you, Hilda.
Why, dear?
Well, I don't think it would be wise at this juncture to remind them of the sort of books you read. Now, which song do you want?
Oh, here, this one, I think, dear. I think the words are rather appropriate.
Very well, then. Here goes. Oh.
There's no friend like an old friend.
Remember that young fella.
There's no wine like the old wine.
If it's not got caught in the cellar.
There's no song like an old song.
Just think of old lang syne.
There's no face like an old face.
Do you refer to mine? Oh, let's put every care away. And from today, we'll be as happy as the dicky birds. The tawny dicky birds who in their nests will never, never disagree. Nobody has surely ever met quite such a happy, happy, happy family. We feel so friendly and so affable. To think of quarreling is too absurd. So from morning we'll be chirpy and bright like the sparrows,
the thrushes,
the magpies,
the cuckoos,
or any other sort of dicky, dicky bird. There's no wife like your own wife.
Well, that sounds touching, rather.
There's no child like your own child.
If you're sure you are a father.
There's no love like your own love.
I think it's time we went.
There's no home like your own home.
Now why do we pay rent?
Oh, not a cloud is in the sky. And by and by, we'll be as happy as the dicky birds. Oh, happy dicky birds, who in their nests will never, never disagree. Nobody yet has surely ever met quite such a happy, happy, happy family. We feel so friendly and so affable. To think of quarreling is too absurd. So from morning till night, we'll be chirpy and bright like the sparrows,
the thrushes,
the magpies,
the cuckoo,
or any
It's a lovely little song, that, isn't it? We must remember that one in case we're ever asked to open an aviary. Oh, and talking of twittering, that reminds me. Peter and Mandy Moore were at the do tonight.
Not dressed as canaries, I hope.
Oh, no, dear, they won't do that again. No, not after we all saw their canaries at the fancy dress ball.
What a treat that was. I mean, she spent the evening catching cocktail cherries in her beak. And he had won too many and fell off his perch.
Yes, well, there wasn't a feather in sight tonight. They were really quite normal. Mm. Well, you know, normal for them. Mm. As a matter of fact, they had rather a good idea.
I don't believe it.
Well, I must admit, I sowed the seed in their minds.
Bird seed, presumably.
You know, you really should have been at that do tonight, dear. Your comic repartee would have been a great success, particularly as the evening wore on. But to get back to Peter and Mandy...
Do we have to?
Evadne, put the sherry decanter down just for a minute and listen. Peter and Mandy suggested that we should bury a time capsule in the library hall. You know the sort of thing. We fill it with all kinds of items representative of Stacton life in the 1980s, so that when at some distant point in time somebody comes across it and opens it, they get a wonderful surprise.
Why? What do they find in it?
Well, that's what we have to decide. Anyway, Peter and Mandy Moore are going to pop around on Thursday so that we can put our heads together. We thought four heads would be better than one.
Well, let's just hope they remember to bring their one.
Well, now, if we're all ready, nobody wants any more coffee or biscuits.
No, thank you.
Right, well, we might as well begin. Evadne, would you pass me my pen, dear?
Why don't you let me take the notes, Hilda?
Why, dear?
Because I don't doodle all over the notepad.
I doodle, don't I, P?
Well, you don't really doodle, dear. You draw.
I don't. I doodle.
Well, your doodles are better than most people's. If I could doodle like you, I'd not call it doodling. I'd call it drawing, like Leonardo did.
Leonardo used to doodle on mirrors.
What are you talking about?
Well, I read that somewhere. Leonardo da Vinci used to write on mirrors.
Leonardo da Vinci was left-handed, Hilda. And his manuscripts are written from right to left in what is known as mirror writing. He did not doodle on mirrors. As far as I know.
Well, we can all see why they're naming the library extension after you. We must just hope they make the door wide enough to get your head through.
Now, can you please begin? Mandy, perhaps you'd like to start the ball rolling for us. What do you suggest we might bury in our time capsule?
Oh, we've got a whole list of things, Doctor. P, where's the list?
Here we are, Dee.
This isn't the list.
What do you mean, this isn't the list? If that isn't a list, what is it?
It's a list, P, but it's not the list.
It's the list that was on the kitchen table.
That may be so, P, but the list was on the dresser. The list was the red list. The list you brought is the green one. Look. Half the things on this list have been crossed off.
Well, half the things on the red list have been crossed off.
Yes, P, but not the same thing.
Well, anyway. It's hardly the end of the world, is it? Here, let me read out what we've got on that list. Even though it's not the list, it's a list. And a lot of things that are on that are on the other. So even if there are some things on the other that aren't on that, at least it's an indication of the way our minds are working.
Very good indication by the sound.
And what exactly have you got on that list then, Peter?
I'll read it. Washing up liquid. Kitchen rolls. Toilet rolls.
You're reading the wrong side, P. That's my shopping list.
Dee, I am not a fool.
Should we put it to the vote?
I've got my hand up.
Dee, did we or did we not agree that certain items from your shopping list should be added to the other lists as likely to be of some historical interest to future generations?
Yes, P, we did.
There we are, then.
But not the cauliflower.
What cauliflower? I've not said a word about cauliflower.
And what's that, then?
What's what?
There, next to the toilet rolls.
Ah. I'll start again. Right, then. Washing up liquid, kitchen rolls, toilet rolls.
Which side are you reading now, then?
For goodness sake! If we carry on like this, we'll be here all day. Now, as a guide to the sort of thing we might include, I have here a list of the objects that are buried under Cleopatra's needle.
First Leonardo, now Cleopatra. You've met some people in your time.
When Cleopatra's needle was erected on the Victoria Embankment in 1878, two large earthenware jars were placed in the center of the pedestal.
We could bury that hideous pot Teddy Tranter gave us for Christmas.
Oh, if that's what you're after, Mandy's got two enormous ones. She brought them all the way back from Baghdad.
I didn't bring them, Pee. Daddy did.
I'll never know how Daddy carried them.
Daddy didn't. Mummy did.
It's a shame we didn't know about those when the old repertory company did Alibaba. They could only afford two thieves.
Hilda, do you or do you not want to know what is buried under Cleopatra's needle?
I can hardly wait to find out, dear. I'm all agog.
That's always been your trouble. Now, among the items in those two big jars are standard foot and pound, a half-inch scale model of the obelisk, a copy of Bradshaw's Railway Guide, a complete set of British coinage.
Ooh, that's quite a good idea. You can put my name down for the 2p.
A case of cigars and several pipes.
Oh, we could bury your pipe, P, now that you've given up.
I haven't completely given up, D. I still light up now and again.
Of course you do, P. I remember.
There are copies of the daily papers and also a copy of Whitaker's Almanac.
Perhaps I could bury one of my diaries.
You should bury them all. And there's a portrait of Queen Victoria and photographs of a dozen famous beauties of the period.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. That's it then, isn't it? What a splendid idea for our time capsule.
Oh, do you think so?
Oh, of course it is, dear, yes.
Hilda, where are you going?
To get my photograph albums, dear. And you three can help me to decide which of the dozen prettiest pictures of me. Well, in the end, and despite all our efforts, Evadne secretly enlisted the help of her old library committee chums, and they managed to put together the most boring collection of old rubbish I've ever seen. There was a copy of the architect's plans for the extension, covered in tea stains, an ashtray bearing the Stacton coat of arms, which, until recently, had been in regular use by the town hall's night porter, who'd just died, a tin of drawing pins, a box of rubber bands, and four bulldog clips, which Evadne was somewhat loath to part with. But she'd always used them to keep her coat closed in a high wind. Mind, I did manage when no one was looking to sneak in a dozen pictures of myself in a plain brown wrapper. The day itself went off quite well, and Evadne and I eventually returned to the old manse, tired but content. I say, Evadne, these flowers they gave us, do you know they must have cost a bob or two? Do you think they're on the rates?
Of course they're on the rates.
Oh, well, we better put an aspirin in the water. Where on earth am I going to put this trowel they gave me? Would you like it in your bedroom?
What I want your trowel for?
As a souvenir.
I've got my plumb line.
Is that what they gave you?
Yes, why?
I wondered what it was. And what are you going to do with that?
Pop it in this drawer for emergencies.
Oh, that's a good idea. You may as well pop my trowel in with it.
Very well. Give it here. You know, this is silver-plated.
Yes. They're so clever, aren't they, those South Koreans? I say, Evadne, have you seen my library books?
I thought you'd taken them back.
Well, I was going to, but I thought I'd two birds with one foundation stone. And take them back today, but I forgot. I put them on the hall stand with the others.
But those were all books about Stacton Trestle. They were taken for inclusion in the time capsule.
Oh, dear.
What is it?
You don't suppose my library books have been buried in the time capsule?
Looks very much like it, doesn't it?
Oh, if Atney. Do you realize I shall be paying fines on that lot for the rest of my life?